Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Annie Dillard loves small things. She writes about them in her Pulitzer Prize-winning book entitled Pilgrim at Tinker Creek. In it, Annie explores the plant and animal world in and around Roanoke, Virginia, and she revels in the God who sets it all in motion. She calls chapter 2 of her book Seeing, and in this chapter, she trains herself to see and to observe the small things, the things that we miss because they seem so insignificant, so small, and so unimportant. For many, the little things in life are like pennies on the ground. And who gets excited about a penny? But for Annie, the world is a delight because it is strewn with the little things, as though scattered about by a generous hand. They are like little surprises or gifts that are waiting to be unwrapped and opened up. But who gets excited about a penny? Annie Dillard does, and so does the prophet Isaiah. As God's spokesman, he writes, "You are my servant, in whom I will display my beauty." Isaiah gets excited by this servant. He gets excited about a penny. Listen to what he says about this servant. In chapter 9, he says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." And in chapter 11, he says, "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his root shall bear fruit." And a little later in that same chapter, he says, "And a little child shall lead them." A son who has just been born, a shoot from a stump, a branch from roots, and a little child. Who gets excited about these things? Who gets excited about a penny? Isaiah does. But what about us? Not so much. Most of the time, you and I ignore what is little, what is small, and insignificant. We spend most of our lives looking for $20 bills, 50s, and hundreds. Who wants pennies? We want the big bucks, the big time, the big league. We dream about landing the big job, in the big office, in the big building. We want a big house with a big yard, and a big car, and a big cabin up north. Powerful forces in our world and in our hearts drive us to be all about B-I-G, big. But hear me out on this. There's nothing wrong with wanting to succeed, to do a good job, or to even be successful. The danger comes, though, when we become obsessed and consumed with big to the point that we begin to despise small things, small lives, small days, small people, and small jobs. And what does God do? His judgment is to make us small. Small people protect their own turf, delight in the latest gossip, and belittle others to prop up their small lives. But not Isaiah. He stands in a long line of believers who revel in finding just a penny and in the small and insignificant things. All Moses had was a staff, and that conquered a kingdom. Gideon defeated the numerous and many Midianites with just 300 soldiers who were, frankly, unimpressive. And a sling and stone were all that David needed to defeat the mighty and big Goliath. But the most awesome person in this long line of penny finders is Jesus. He found great pleasure in 5 loaves of barley bread and 2 small fish. He once said, "The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed that you plant in the ground." Passing through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus picks out little Zacchaeus and said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham." And in the words for the ages, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Jesus likes pennies. He loves the small and insignificant. Little Stanley was the smallest child in his Sunday school class. That was because he was the only first grader in a class made up of 5th and 6th graders. He had to be in their class because there was no one else remotely close to his age group. And so on Palm Sunday, the Sunday school teacher gave each child an empty plastic egg and told them to go home and bring something back the following week that represented Easter and that could fit inside the egg. The teacher didn't expect much from Stanley since he was just a first grader and the rest of the kids were in fifth and sixth grade. And so the week passes and the children come to Sunday school with little objects in their eggs and they are excited to show what they have brought. One little girl has a beautiful little butterfly in her egg. Another girl shows a pretty little flower. One child brought a little cross that could fit inside. And when it came to Stanley, he opened up his egg, and nothing was in it. And everyone began to laugh and tease him about it. They laughed and said, oh, figures, he didn't get it again. But Stanley worked up the courage to say, my egg is empty, just like Jesus' tomb. Here was the most insightful understanding about Easter, and they missed it. Isaiah says, you are my servant, in whom I will display my beauty. On Palm Sunday, God didn't send an MLB All-Star, a polished politician, a successful general, or a high-profile actor. Instead, he sends a servant to save us. And most people missed it. But through this servant, God says, I will display my beauty. But to display his beauty, it would have to get ugly. Really, really ugly. Just after our text, we learn that the servant will be deeply despised and abhorred by the nation. In chapter 50, we hear how the servant will give his back to those who would beat him and his cheeks to those who would pull out his beard. In chapter 52, we see that the servant's appearance will be so marred that many people will be appalled at him. His form will be disfigured beyond human likeness because of the beatings and the blows. And in 53:2, we hear that he had no former majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. And we'll see this all in the upcoming week. But it was on Good Friday that God's beauty was on display. Ironically, though, through a horrific and ugly crucifixion. Look again. Blood and spit are caked to his cheeks. His lips are cracked and swollen. His enemies revile him. His friends forsake him. And he hangs on a cross in pain and agony for 3 hours. What's beautiful about that? I'll tell you. Jesus did it all to find a penny. He suffered, bled, and died to find and to cherish you. He did it to save you. He did it to forgive you. He did it to give you eternal life and salvation. He did it to make you right with the Father. Who gets excited about a penny? Jesus does. Jesus gets excited about a penny. And so does Jeanette Therfel. Jeanette Therfel felt like a penny for most of her life. She was orphaned at a very young age, and 2 serious accidents left her crippled for the rest of her life. But she lived faithfully with her pain and suffering because she knew that Jesus came for the little, the least, and the last. Her favorite day of the year was Palm Sunday because her Savior didn't ride in on a glorious chariot, on a mighty black stallion, or a powerful war horse. Instead, he came in on a lowly, regular old donkey. That's why in 1871, she wrote a hymn for Palm Sunday, calling it Hosanna, Loud Hosanna, which is hymn 443. Stanzas 1 and 2 describe how children responded during his procession into Jerusalem. Notice it's children and not adults, for they were looking for something big to save them, and they missed it. Stanza 3 then invites everyone to sing. That is, everyone who gets excited about a penny. The servant, the hymn says, Hosanna in the highest, that ancient song we sing, for Christ is our Redeemer, the Lord of heaven our King. Oh, may we ever praise him with heart and life and voice, and in his blissful presence eternally rejoice. Don't miss it this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus, who died and came to save you and me. Amen.